during the 10 years that took America from glittering heights to the depths of economic devastation, New York State transformed the nation. The exhibition Roaring into the Future, New York 1925 to 1935, on view through October 9th at Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum of Art, is a pioneering exploration celebrating the Empire State as the driving force behind the creation of 20th century modernism. From Buffalo to Brooklyn, artists, designers, and manufacturers generated avant-garde art, fashion, technology, and music that resulted in the country's most important artistic revolution. President of the museum, Anna D'Ambrosio, is with us this morning, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Anna to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Very nice to be back.
Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute, and you are in Utica, and how is everything going there?
Everything is going very well in Utica. Utica has a lot of great economic development going on in our downtown area. And of course, the museum and the institute as a cultural center is really a major role in all of that.
How did this particular exhibit come about?
Well, we had a real strength in this area in the museum's collection as far as fine arts are concerned. And we really saw how important New York State was in moving us, as you said, from the Jazz Age to the modern age. So we built on our painting strength and borrowed from museums across the state as well as private collectors to bring you fashion, jewelry, decorative arts, everything from photographs and paintings to phonographs and flapper dresses.
So how much of this was in your collection? How much did you have to go outside for it? Was it a mix?
It's a mix, but I would say about 80% of it is loaned. So this is a major exhibition that can only be seen at Munson Williams Proctor in Utica.
Tell us the story. What was the story that you wanted to tell over this very specific 10-year period of time, 1925 to 1935?
Right. So from Buffalo to Manhattan, it was the New York State artists, designers, manufacturers that transformed how we dress, where we lived, how we lived, what we drove, even what we drank and what we listened to, how we socialized. So it was really important to tell that story. There's many pieces and companies represented in the exhibition that people are familiar with, but they won't be familiar with how these companies or artists affected the United States as a whole in stylistically. I mean, everything from General Electric, Revere Copper and Brass, the Corning Glass, Tiffany and Company, Kodak in Rochester, all of these companies were generating high-end designed products that were being used in homes across the United States, but the designers and manufacturers were based in New York. So they were moving us from much more traditional, colonial-based design into things that are influenced by streamlining and skyscrapers, for example.
So let us talk, many objects, many things within the exhibit. Let's talk about the art itself, the incredible range of art from this period, and give us an idea, some of the sampling of what we can see in the exhibition.
Sure. Well, there's wonderful photographers represented, such as Lewis Hine and Margaret Bourke White, as well as painters like Stuart Davis. We explore how cubism and represented and paralleled the development of the skyscraper and how that stepped back design that we're so familiar with and we all associate with Art Deco, but how it was the skyscraper and the artists who were influencing that look that was adopted in furniture and fabrics that were people wearing, even in jewelry.
And I always love asking this question, but was there anything you wanted to get your hands on that you couldn't?
No, actually, people were very generous.
Okay.
We have loans from the Whitney, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, private collectors, George Eastman Museum, I mean, just really across the state.
And when you look at the list, I assume, obviously, the list of the things that you were looking for was probably much longer than what we have here.
We're only limited by budget and space.
That's right.
So we had to make certainly some difficult choices, but we wanted to represent both the artistic influence and then the cultural influence. I mean, the speakeasies, the flapper dresses, the Harlem Renaissance, the music, the jazz, the movie industry. I mean, all of those changed the United States culturally, and it was the heart of that change was New York State.
We'll get into a little bit more about the exhibit specifically in a moment, but talk a little bit about how this ultimately fits into the overall mission of the museum.
Well, the museum, we have a collection of 300 years of American art and both fine art and 19th century decorative arts. But what we try to do with our summer exhibitions is represent and explore a topic that might not be held within the museum's collection. So here we could build on our permanent collection, but explore a topic much more in depth by using painting, photography, decorative arts, you know, jewelry, graphic design, all of that, and bring that together to tell the whole story, both artistically and culturally.
Do you think we, and I say this in a very broad term, but do you think we as a culture do enough to look back and take a snapshot of our state and local history enough?
I think that we do a lot of that in schools. Certainly museums and historical societies are always doing that. But what this exhibition offers is a much more in-depth look across all of the areas that I mentioned that you can't see anywhere else. So you can only see this exhibition at Munson Williams, and it's this great in-depth exploration of the importance of New York State. And we found it to be a pivotal decade that had not been in-depthly explored.
And that period is really interesting because you're out of World War One, you're about to go into the Depression, and you have the Roaring Twenties in there, but then by 35, you're just starting to see things turn. So it is a fascinating period,
right? And then really leads up, of course, into World War II.
Sure.
So it's that important. But that decade was just particularly important, as you said, moving out of the jazz age and into what is the modern age. So moving into much more streamlined and skyscraper-influenced design, for example, and much more difference in cultural and social mores as well. So women have fairly recently had gotten the right to vote, right, ratified in 1920. So you see that whole flapper era, for example, that we explore, and, you know, freedom of how they dress. And it's not just expressing themselves, but that how much that expressed fashion. So when hemlines get shorter, well, shoes become more important. So you have you know, difference in design there. And how we socialized with the Prohibition era.
The other thing I guess that's important to note in the exhibit is what it shows us and what we learn about just the innovation of the state of New York.
Right. So innovative materials in what was being produced were crucial. And for example, General Electric with its use of plastics. And we see that we have a fabulous skyscraper-influenced General Electric radio, for example, in the exhibition. Or Revere Copper and Brass, based in Rome, New York, in the spun aluminum and the tubular metal furniture that they were producing, influenced by transportation and speed and that whole streamlined aesthetic that's part of this era that actually it's in an era today typically people call Art Deco.
Yes.
But that's a term that wasn't coined until the 1960s. So it's not a term that was used during the period.
How much of it came from the city of New York and how much came from the outlying areas? Was the city dictating what was happening, or were they catching up to what was being produced throughout the state?
The city certainly is one of the most central locations because just of the concentration of population, artists, and manufacturers. And when we think about the skyscraper influence and the development of the Chrysler and the Empire State Building in 1930. And so that, of course, is influencing architecture across the state, for example. But it was places like Rome, Rochester with Eastman Kodak, Charles Birchfield, a wonderful artist based in Buffalo, New York. We have Albany, New York, of course, represented as well. So, and GE and Schenectady. So all these other manufacturers are playing a critical role. But New York City certainly leads the way.
Yes. And it is, because I assume you can't get away from what we're still dealing with in a definition of what is upstate and what is downstate.
Right. Well, always, right? We consider ourselves central New York because
yes.
we are really right in the center of the state, so easy to get to from all over the state.
Well, it's an incredible exhibit. It is entitled, let me get this right, because I have it right here in the paper. Or do I?
Well, it's Roaring Into the Future.
Roaring Into the Future, New York, 1925 to 1935. There it is, Roaring Into the Future. And it is on view through October 9th. And then what?
Oh, then it all is dispersed and goes back to the other museums and private collectors.
But what goes on in the museum then?
Oh, we have a great exhibition opening in the fall. An artist, Leon Polk Smith, a 20th century artist that we will be exploring, the first exhibition to explore his works on paper. And, you know, we have about 8 special exhibitions a year. But, you know, maybe I can come back next summer and talk about our kimono exhibition, what is summer of 2018.
Well, promise me you'll do that.
I will do
that. Great. That sounds great.
I will do that.
Will you bring a kimono?
I cannot bring a kimono, but I'll bring beautiful pictures of kimonos.
Okay. All right. Sounds like a deal. It's Roaring Into the Future, New York, 1925 to 1935, on view through October 9th at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute Museum of Art. All of that happening through October 9th. Thank you very much for being with us.
Always nice to be here.
Delight to have you here again.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.